Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno and Shaka Hislop here in the studio. We also welcome a man who is definitely dressed far too young for his age. Mark Clattenburg joins us to reflect on what we've seen over the weekend and some of those controversial calls. Mark, let's start off, shall we, at Old Trafford. This was the challenge from Martinez on Danny Welbeck. It's a clear shove, but is it a shove enough that should warrant a penalty?
For me, it's a penalty kick. What the argument could be is that Danny Welbeck probably looks across at his shoulder, he looks at the defender, and he probably slows down, but he has the right. And I believe the defender has a duty of care in the defending not to hit and push over Danny Welbeck. So for me, Danny Welbeck has the right because he's in front. It's not a duel. If it's side to side, shoulder to shoulder, for me, it's play on, but this is a clear push in the back.
Ali?
I agree with Mark, but it is close enough to shoulder to shoulder to where I can
to
see...
To whose shoulder?
No. Oh, good, no, sorry.
Go ahead, you're right, Shaq. I said I agree with Mark.
Okay.
And if I were Danny Welbeck, I would have done exactly the same thing. But it's enough of a somewhat shoulder-to-shoulder challenge to where once the referee doesn't see it or doesn't call it originally, then I don't think it's a clear and obvious error. That's it. That's all I was going to say, Shaq. I don't know why you're so worked up about this.
Shaka.
That's a penalty.
Right.
I don't know what the argument is. That's close enough to whose shoulder? That's right in the middle of Welbeck's back. I don't know how we excuse that away.
I'm not excusing it. Did you not hear the part that I agree with Mark?
You just tried to make up to my new fans.
I said I agree with Mark.
So
United getting away with it.
Oh, yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Did they get away with another one? Should McTominay have been sent off, Mark?
This will split a lot of opinions. I think if the referee goes red, the VAR will support it. Probably what happens is, as he plays the ball, his instep of his foot is the one that catches him, and probably that's where there's no force. If he uses the studs more from a front end position, I think the referee would, without doubt, or the VAR would interfere. But because McTominay is playing the ball with his instep of his foot, the foot moves up and probably catches his opponent. So therefore, I can probably give more of a yellow card for this because of there's no speed or there's no malice in the challenge.
Yellow?
Yellow for me, yeah.
Yeah?
You know what's interesting is that when we say it's a game of inches, it really is. In that Caicedo, in a fraction of a second before McTominay goes across his leg, Caicedo's coming in two-footed challenge on top of the ball. He just doesn't get there in time. And now McTominay goes with a kick through and then he makes contact. I agree, Shaq. It's a yellow card.
Let's take it away, shall we, from Old Trafford. Everton taking on Chelsea. Raheem Sterling causing some problems for that Everton back line. This was interesting because I think the foul went against Sterling here in this incident. Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the referees give that. I think eventually the handball against Raheem Sterling. This is a problem with Raheem Sterling. I'm not saying that referees victimise players, but Raheem Sterling probably wanted to go down three times in this same frequency, and eventually when he feels a little bit of contact, he goes to ground. And therefore I believe that the referees have to be very, very clear with Raheem Sterling because he does like to go down under the slightest contact. And for me, the Premier League is one of the most physical leagues in the world, and we have to allow some contact. If we're going to give penalties every time there's a little bit of contact on the shoulder or on the side or slight holds, for me, you'll be given a lot of penalties per game. So Raheem Sterling, for me, was looking at for this.
While I agree this is a contact sport and
I'm still not sure how two arms around both shoulders of Raheem Sterling can be interpreted as incidental.
Let's take a look at it again. Where's the instant here, Shaq? Right here.
He starts. And this is the thing for me. We always say that players shouldn't have to go down to get a penalty. But then when they don't go down, they don't get the penalty. That's twice. That's two penalties. And then in the end, Raheem Sterling does go down, and he's penalized for it. But the first foul started well in advance of that, and should have been punished.
Two penalties?
Well, 100% a penalty.
200%.
And this is what I'll say, and Mark just alluded to it without saying it, that referees have a tendency of singling out specific players. I know this very well from experience. And so there's an anticipation that you're trying to draw a foul. So then Raheem Sterling, who at one point or another has gone down easily, now he's trying to fight through challenges that he shouldn't. His mistake is not going down right away. The moment Doucouré has both of his arms around him, go down. What are you fighting? Because you try to fight, now you're unbalanced to begin with and eventually end up laying on the ball. Raheem Sterling, let me tell you something. If this is your game, it's drawing fouls inside the 18-yard box is part of what you do. Be proud of it. Don't fight through these things. Draw the penalty. That was a foul. That was a penalty.
The hands on Sterling is the issue here, Mark.
Yeah, no, I think the boys make a very, very good point. And it's always in the referee's back of the mind. We see a hold. We probably see the two arms around. That's not the offence. The offence is the hold or the pull. What it doesn't put Raheem Sterling down. And the argument is, well, what, he has to go down to win the penalty. No, he doesn't. However, it makes the referee's decision a lot easier if he does go down under the natural contact of the hold. I think if he goes down originally, for the first one, which Shaka says, now, I think the referee would probably give a penalty and the VAR would support it.
So in the end, it was a foul against Raheem Sterling for handling the ball. And obviously, Chelsea in the end would go on and win that game. Let's move on to Wolves against Leeds. I think out of all of the incidents that we've seen, this is the biggest head scratcher for me, Mark. Saar coming out, no contact with the ball, takes the player completely out.
Yeah, nothing at all.
What? Hey!
How, Mark?
I can't explain this one. I think this is what the frustration thing is. We've got this player will be down for over a minute. Therefore, the VAR has got all the time in the world to check all the angles. And I think we only need one angle. The one angle is clear. Once a goalkeeper doesn't make any touch on the ball and makes contact with the attacker, for me, it's a clear penalty. And I just don't understand how this is not given.
Listen, my membership for the goalkeepers union is up for review. And even with that pending, that's a penalty.
But what's interesting is that Dermot Gallagher, speaking on Sky in the UK, Mark, said, oh, that's never been given a penalty. It's never a penalty and it never will be until Shaka's lot come out and say, basically, this is now the change of the rules and this is now a penalty, which seems a very strange thing to say.
I think even when I was a referee and all them years ago, this was a penalty. And I don't think why the goalkeeper should have a special privilege. If that was a defender doing the same action, it would be still a penalty. What we have to remember, and this is for Dermot Gallagher. Dermot Gallagher goes on Sky on a channel and he's employed by the Pigeon Well. So the Pigeon Well are guiding him of what to say. And what I think they're scared of is that they've made a clear and obvious error. And, you know, the Pigeon Well are hiding behind the mistake because this is a clear mistake.
So, he's just a puppet. Not like you, Mark.
That's a weird bit.
That's it, how it is.
So Dermot Gallagher is saying that IFAB have to come out. And,
yes.
IFAB have to come out and say
yes.
That the goalkeeper is no longer allowed to punch another player long after the ball is gone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They have to be that specific.
Or slap.
Yeah. Stop punching people just because the ball went away. That's no good reason to punch.
The PGMOL should come out, not IFAB. I got my initials mixed up.
Whoever.
Yes.
I'm not sure. I'm sure it needed to be said by anybody.
It's crazy, yeah?
Yep.
That is absolutely bonkers.
I wish I knew that when I was playing.
Meanwhile, Mark, I want to take it back to Old Trafford and that golazo that we scored, United score. Now, interesting enough here, it does come off Delotte's arm. Uh-huh. And if nobody touches it and it goes to the back of the net, am I right in saying that that goal would be disallowed?
Yeah, I think what the first thing that they've got to look at the VAR here is the handball deliberate or not? If it's deliberate, it's a foul. It doesn't matter if it goes inside the goal or not. It's a deliberate handball. But because it's an accidental handball, the law changed over a year ago that if you scored direct with your arm, it's disallowed, which it would have if nobody had touched it. However, the ball was touched by a defender, and then I think it came off Harry Maguire. And therefore, because you didn't directly score, it's now by somebody else, one of his opponents, it's now being given as a goal. So it was to probably stop all these accidental handballs that eventually went to someone else to score that they wanted to see goals, but that you can't score direct with your arm if the ball had ended up in the goal.
You best be in the Brighton players. Don't touch it!
But imagine that that's indeed what you're asked to do by this law.
Yeah.
In that in the middle of the game, you're saying, we're better off not trying to keep this ball from going over the line. Let's not make a mess of it. Let's just let it go in, and then it will be disallowed.
It's a big gamble.
Nonsense.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one because I think the players, it's hard to even see it hit Dallas on replay. So as a player, you react instinctively and...
Right, but you cannot be punished by it.
Yeah,
That's my point, that these guys are trying to make a play that comes from a handball, so the handball does play a role in the goal. If Dallas doesn't touch it with the arm, it doesn't go towards goal. I don't understand it. This is nonsense.
Yeah, but what we have to remember is we were talking a year ago that there was a difference between a defender's handball and an attacker's handball. So what they're trying to do is get some sort of similarities that if you accidentally handball it as a defender, it's not a penalty, and therefore if it's an accidental handball, unless it leads direct to a goal, it's the same punishment. Because what I didn't like is the attackers were getting punished that a defender wasn't.
Thank you very much, Mark. As always, appreciate it. Just a reminder, plenty of content over on our YouTube channel. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to go over there and join the 1.56 million people.
Oh, look at us. Already
subscribed.
Big time.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Adrian Rabiot to Manchester United. Looks like it may actually go ahead. This is a story, of course, we discussed yesterday. For more on it,
that headline, by the way.
Squeaky mum time.
Yeah, I like that.
Very good. Because, of course, Rabiot's mum is the person in charge of his business. And if they want to get it done, Manchester United will have to speak to her first. How close are we seeing that conversation happening? Or has it happened already, Jules?
No, it's not. It hasn't happened yet. The two clubs don't have a full agreement, but it's progressing pretty quickly, pretty well, in the sense that Erik ten Hag, for example, spoke to Adrien Rabiot yesterday over the phone, called him. They had a good conversation. It was the first contact that they had together, and the manager doesn't call a player if he's not really keen on him joining the club. And I think Rabiot appreciated that. The two clubs are finalising an agreement, and then it will be down to Manchester United sorting out really this transfer with Véronique Rabiot, Adrien Zmem, who is also his agent. At the moment, she doesn't want to speak to any intermediaries or anything. She just wants direct contact with John Myrtle or Fletcher or someone from United. Nobody in between, if you want. And until that happens, this deal will not happen, will not go through. But certainly, like we reported on the ESPN website, he's keen, Adrien is keen on going. He wants a new challenge. And from the discussion that he had with Ten Hag, he's really had the feeling that Ten Hag really wants him too.
Jules, it's interesting from a Juventus point of view. The fans are delighted to see the back of him, given the amount of money that he's made and the lack of input really he's had since making that move from PSG. I suppose if I was going to be negative here, you would say, why would Manchester United want someone who's done nothing really since he left France?
It's a fair point. I mean, if we look at his time at Juventus, three seasons, three different managers, no real identity to any of those teams. I guess Sarri, maybe the first season where I think Rabiot was actually not too bad. And then under Pirlo and Allegri, it was more difficult, although he played 45 games last season in all competition, which is not too bad for someone who is rubbish. I understand this negativity, if you want. I think there's talent there. He's 27. Ten Hag wants a left-footed player. He wants someone who's a bit more physical than someone like Fred, for example. And Rabiot is, you know, he's taller. Of course, if you look at the stats in terms of goals and assists, but also progressive carries and things like that, successful dribbles, for example, he's not up there. He's not Kevin De Bruyne. I give you that. But I still think this is better than Fred and McTominay. And I think right now, they need players who will improve the team. And certainly, Ten Hag believes that Rabiot will improve the team.
Where does he fit in? You mentioned Fred McTominay. Is this a replacement for one of them, Jules?
I think he can play a double pivot. I think probably his best position will be in the midfield three on that left-hand side, where he can also be a bit more box-to-box, because I think he's got technical ability is not a problem. It's how he uses it. If you give him a bit more freedom with the ball going forward, I think he can certainly help you. But he can also play in a double pivot like he does, like he's done at times with France, for example. He can play more wide even if you want, and in a more kind of a hybrid position. But I feel that, yeah, he will replace one of Fred and McTominay for sure. So
yesterday, of course, there were two names floating about linked to Manchester United. Rabiot and Marko Arnautovic. That's off now, completely off, Jules, from what ESPN is hearing, epitomised by the back page of the newspapers here. The suggestion is that once it was floated out there and United saw the fans' reaction, they pulled the plug on the deal.
Yes, I have to say this is what we're hearing and what the club is briefing. I find it personally hard to believe that a club like Manchester United based its transfer recruitment on whether the players is liked by the fans or not. This is not how you run a recruitment in a summer, in a transfer window. However, we know what a mess the transfer recruitment is at Manchester United right now, and it's been for many, many years. So I would not be surprised if this was true. However, it's not because John or Mike down the pub said they don't like Marko Arnautovic that you said, okay, actually, it was not a good idea. If Ten Hag at some point flag up the possibility of being reunited, him and Steve McLaren with the player that they've coached, okay, albeit a long time ago, but still that maybe they thought was going to be a good addition to the club, to the squad, you should not go back on it just because some fans don't think it's a good idea. But because it's Manchester United right now, I would not be surprised if that was true.
And that's the point. That's the whole point in this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Normally you think, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
If Ten Hag wants an out of it, it doesn't matter what John or Bob down the pub says.
What about Mike?
Mike? Mike's got other issues. <He's> got... but looking at it, it does seem to have been what transpired here.
As bemusing as the Arnautovic link was, just to start with,
yep.
And as much as we may have ridiculed Manchester United for even considering it, this takes it to a whole pulling out because of opinions makes it even more ridiculous. It's ridiculous for any football club, top two, three divisions of any football league. We're talking about Manchester United here. And that, again, for all the ridicule we poured Manchester United's front door, I think pulling out of a deal, regardless of how ridiculous the deal is, because of fan opinion, tops it all.
What do you think? Twitter poll is the way to go?
That's Manchester United policy.
Yeah. Who do we sign?
That's the next step, isn't it? And they're just playing it. How low can you go? Shaka would know this. Little limbo action.
More careful.
Little limbo action in the Caribbean. How low can you go? This is exactly what Manchester United...
I've seen Shaka limbo.
How low can you go? Shaka can tell you it can go very low. All I'm suggesting is that if indeed this is where Manchester United are, it is. It was embarrassing before. Now it's become expected, and that's even more embarrassing.
What happens now, Jules?
Well, I guess you go to another target. Whether they make up a new one or there's actually a plan behind it, we will never know with them, because Cesco was the other name that they were keen on, that they were talking to. And, I mean, again, he decided to go to RB Leipzig to choose RB Leipzig, let's put it that way, is better than to go to United right now, which, again, is a big blow to what they were trying to do. They still need bodies in midfield, up front. But clearly they go for very different profiles, very different players, and it's very not clear. There's, again, no direction in where the recruitment is going. So I'm fully expecting tomorrow Alejandro Moreno to be on the list, or maybe Shaka Hislop if they need another goalkeeper. I don't know.
How low can they go?
Very low, apparently. Very low.
Hey, it's a big, big week for Jules. You know why?
Why is that?
Because Gab is on holiday. Thursday, Jules will sit in the big boy chair for the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Be sure to check it out. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Wow, just 3 days until La Liga starts. We are focusing on Atletico Madrid today. Isn't it weird, Ali? You think, what, this time last year, we were sat here talking about favourites for the title. Mm-hmm. And genuinely, we were talking about Atleti going out there and defending their crown. Because we thought, well, Real Madrid are a bit of a mess. They've lost Sergio Ramos, Varane's gone at the back. Barcelona, Messi had just left. So I thought, well, Atleti have got the perfect opportunity to step up and defend it. They were nowhere. They were dreadful last season.
Yes, they were. And they were dreadful against the wrong teams. It's one thing to have difficulties against Real Madrid and Barcelona or Sevilla, what have you, but they were having difficulties with the teams at the bottom of the table, teams that were relegated. They were having difficulties getting results with consistency. And most of all, they were having difficulties with their identity. And for years, we knew, whether you like them or not, whether you hate them or not, we knew what Atletico Madrid were. They tried to be some sort of in-between, some sort of hybrid last year, and it wasn't working until Simeone said, you know, I don't trust any of this nonsense. We're going back to what I know and what I can trust. And the player, I think, who's more symptomatic of this than anybody else and who's affected the most than anybody else in this club is Joao Felix. I can make the argument for Atletico Madrid fans that if Joao Felix has a great season, the team doesn't have a good season. Because it is structured in a way in which he is not allowed to truly express what he is as a player, and Simeone does not trust him to the point to where he's willing to sacrifice some of the things that they do naturally. So Joao Felix somehow has to find a way of being productive, but also being the sort of players who will sacrifice himself for the team and defending his own half and defending his in his own third of the field. You can't have it both ways. If this guy is really going to take a next step in his career, allow him to do the things that he does best. And if Simeone is able to trust Joao Felix, I think this will be a critical part to the success, potential success of both Joao Felix and Atletico Madrid this season.
Speaking of next steps, Jules, one man who has taken quite a few backward steps over the last few seasons, of course, is Antoine Griezmann. It's difficult, isn't it, to put up an argument as to why he's going to recapture the form that saw him as one of the best players in the world at one stage?
Yes, you're right. It's difficult. I mean, I think Joao Felix, Ali is right about, you know, what you just explained on Joao Felix. I think Griezmann, to a certain extent, is the summary of what went wrong last season, in the sense that he didn't score a goal after January the 6th, I think, which was in the Copa del Rey. Nothing between January and May. And a team like Atletico Madrid and a player like him cannot go through such a long goal drive. This is not possible. It shows that something is clearly not right in there, that it's not working, that Griezmann himself doesn't feel like himself, and he's way, way, way too below his level. But also the team is not functioning. And I think until they find the right identity and the right players to fit that identity, whether it's going back, like Ali said, to what they were very good at before, or trying to evolve and play a bit more attacking and all of that, it's not going to work. It's not going to work for Joao Felix. It's not going to work for Griezmann. And it's not going to work for Morata or for the others defensively in midfield, you know, wherever. We even saw Jan Oblak having a really average season for his standard last season, for example. So I think they need to recapture that. And Griezmann, of course, if they want to have a good season as well, he needs to recapture what used to make him Atletico's best player.
Let's remind you what sort of business Atleti have done over the summer when you take a look at the ins and outs in the Spanish capital. Alvaro Morata, of course, back. Saúl as well, goodness me, did nothing. Axel Witsel's come in, Molina as well. Meanwhile, Luis Suarez, of course, gone back to Uruguay. Herrera's gone as well. Looking at Alvaro Morata, Ali, he scored a hat-trick, didn't he, pre-season against Juventus. He's quite... I don't even know how you describe Morata sometimes.
He's a guy who's easily criticized. Alvaro Morata is a target for everybody, including myself. And he's an easy target because sometimes the way he carries himself, sometimes the way that in moments in which you think he's about to deliver and produce and he's going to be that guy that you thought he was always going to be, didn't quite work out. And he's been given opportunity after opportunity by club after club after club. And there are moments in which you think, yeah, there's something there. I'm going to trust this guy. And then he goes and disappears. And it's the same thing that happens with the national team, in which he becomes the de facto starting center forward for Spain. But when we think of Spain and their prospects in the World Cup, the limitation that we always talk about is who's going to score the goals. And it's, again, a direct criticism of Alvaro Morata and his shortcomings. He's going to score a few goals for Atletico Madrid. Is he going to be a difference maker? I don't think he's the sort of player that puts him above Barcelona and Real Madrid.
Has Simeone lost his magic, Shaq? Do you think people have stopped listening to him?
I think the game has just moved on, and Ali spoke about Simeone regressing to what he always knows best. And I think this is an Atletico Madrid team that potentially is built to do a lot more than just defend and outrun opponents and grind the opposition down. But that's what Simeone does, and that's where the conflict with Atletico Madrid comes. As Ali was talking about Alvaro Morata there, and I couldn't help but think that Morata as a player sums up Atleti as a team. That at times they're brilliant, and you think, where is this? Why can't we have this more consistently? But even when they're brilliant and you look at them over the course of 90 minutes, they still leave you scratching your head a little bit, you know, and that kind of sums up Atletico Madrid over the last couple of seasons. And I say couple of seasons, knowing full well that they won the title 2 seasons ago. But that's just who they've become. Simeone, I think, just doesn't have the nous in today's game to maintain that sustained effort.
Where do they finish, Jules?
I think they finish third, really third, because I think Sevilla have regressed, yeah, and I don't think they can push them for that third place. I don't think the rest, Villarreal, Real Sociedad, Athletic Bilbao, those kind of teams can't push them either. So I think they'll finish third. But I still think this is an amazing squad. And all last season, me and Ali have said, this is maybe the best squad in La Liga. This is a fantastic squad that he has. If you look at the new signings, okay, Saúl is coming back, but Molina is a really good option at right back. He had a really good season last season in Serie A. You know, you still have depth. Forward, even if you lose after losing Suarez, you still have some good options. You've got variety. You've got players who can complement each other well. They should play nice football. They have the squad and the players to play good football here. So this is for me the challenge, more than where they finish, because I really can't see them finishing first or second. But I want to see something in their game. I want to see something better than what we saw last season, and even better than we saw the season where they were champions, because the first half was great, the second half was dire.
Where are they finishing?
Third.
Third?
Comfortably third.
But we don't know.
They're not really going to challenge, and they're not going to challenge up top, and they're not going to be challenged from behind.
Yeah.
And that's sort of where they are. And if they want to take that next step, then their game has to be different than what we have seen. And I just don't think, as much as I love me some Diego Simeone, I don't think that he will allow this team to just freely express who they are. He's going to take it back to run, fight, kick, foul, grind, 1-0 win. And that's how they get their points. That's enough to get him third, but not above that.
I fully agree. And the issue, again, in talking about Atletico Madrid and their position, is less about how good they are and more about who's regressed and who's had more issues than them. It's not about Atleti and their own potential, but by default, third.
Meanwhile, Jules, let's talk about Barcelona. Oh. Another 24 hours in which we've heard arguments about their financial situation. La Liga said, as it stands, they still cannot register these new players ahead of the start of the weekend, and they're going to have to dun 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 pull the fourth lever apparently to get this. Wow! Not only do they want to pull the fourth lever, apparently they still were chasing Bernardo Silva for some reason as well.
Yeah, there's some reports in Spain that they've got an agreement with Manchester City over the transfer of Bernardo Silva around the 60 million euro mark, let's put it that way. But yeah, you're right, they still haven't been able to register the signing that they've already made and the players who have extended their contracts. That fourth lever will be activated. They will sell another 24.5% of Barça Studios, which will raise a lot of money that they will bring it. That might not be still enough for La Liga. They will go back to La Liga, and then Tebas will answer. As we say, the clock is ticking. Obviously, the league starts this weekend. They've also asked some players to extend their contracts and, you know, taking pay cuts or defer the wages, whatever way you want to put it. So they're also working on that front. It will happen what happened last season. Of course, eventually, I think they will be okay. They will be able to register the players that they want. It might not be all the players in one go. You might start with Lewandowski for the first league game, or maybe Lewandowski and Dembele. I don't know. But certainly, even if it's not ideal, you would expect them to complete it by the weekend.
Incredible. La Liga then kicks off this weekend. And we've got every single game for you live on ESPN Plus throughout the campaign. Friday, Osasuna against Sevilla. Saturday, who's going to be playing for Barcelona?
Hey.
I think that's the big question that will be answered as they take on Rayo Vallecano. Sunday sees Real Madrid away against Almeria as they start the defence of their title. And Monday, Atletico Madrid against Getafe in the Mini Madrid Derby.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No surprise, we can take a look at Kicker's Team of the Week. A number of Bayern Munich players. The Player of the Week? Musiala, of course, got a brace in that thrashing of Eintracht Frankfurt. So much excitement over the 19-year-old. This is what Lewandowski had to say about the striker. Bambi is a special talent like Pedri, Gavi or Ansu Fati at Barca. Yes, we know you're at Barca now. It's impressive how quickly he's matured and adapted to this level at Bayern, but also how much he keeps working on himself and wants to learn more. It was interesting, the interview he gave afterwards as well came across really well with Archie. How good is he?
Really good. Exceptional talent, I think, Jamal Musiala. And the more you watch him play, the more you appreciate the things that he does. He has very good recognition, the spaces that he needs to take in between lines, finds a lot of open spaces. And then once he finds those open spaces, he does have the quality to understand and anticipate where the pressure is going to come from, take the first touch away from that pressure, and then more importantly than anything else, the speed to get away from that pressure. So if you're able to take that first touch away from pressure and now they're trying to chase you down, but you have the speed to create separation, then that creates space for you, it creates spaces for others, because as defenders step to you, now you lay the ball off. If they don't step to you, now you can create for yourself. He really is a special talent.
Jack, what a great environment to grow as well, yeah, as a 19-year-old.
It really is, and especially you play for a club like Bayern, you know the standards that are to be held. And the margins for error, and you know that you can be replaced. But somehow, as a 19-year-old, to embrace that, yeah, in the way that he has, to understand what's around him, to understand what's asked of him, I think an incredible talent that you don't often see. That understanding of spaces, as Ali points out, is something you grow into. It's not something you're supposed to appreciate at 19 years old.
How high is his ceiling? Are we talking Mbappe, Haaland levels, Jules?
100%, different profile, different player, but yeah, I think he's going to be one of the best, capable of winning, you know, Ballon d'Ors and all the trophies possible in the near future, very, very soon, because everything that the boys have said and Lewandowski, it's true, he's so impressive. Even last season, although we saw the start, 8 goals, 5 assists in all competition, it's maybe not good enough for his talent, but he was already progressing nicely. There was already a lot of things that we could see in terms of maturity, but even in terms of consistency at times. And now seeing the start that he's had already, both in the Super Cup, the German Super Cup, and then obviously in the first weekend of the Bundesliga, he's going to smash those records from last season, those 8 goals and 5 assists, without a doubt. He's going to be amazing. And maybe in a way, Nagelsmann so that Lewandowski going could unleash in a way maybe Musiala a little bit more, give him a bit more freedom. We saw the runs on that second goal he scored against Frankfurt the weekend and the ball from Zane. This is the kind of maybe goals that he would not have scored if Lewandowski had been there. I don't know. So maybe when Nagelsmann decided that it was better that Lewandowski left, maybe already the plan was that would give more responsibilities, more freedom for Musiala to step up and then to play at the level that we saw against Frankfurt.
You can see Musiala in action on Sunday. Bayern looking to make it 2 wins out of 2 for the start of the season. They're at home against Wolfsburg. Meanwhile, Saturday could see Timo Werner back at Leipzig. It's official, of course. They take on Cologne. The Friday game sees Freiburg take on Borussia Dortmund.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Meanwhile, Champions League action today. Teams vying for a place in the group stages. Some big names making it through, including PSV beating Monaco. Benfica through as well. As are Rangers. Malik Tillman, the US international, scoring in their 3-2 win. Meanwhile, it's a Super Cup.
Oh.
Isn't it Helsinki tomorrow? The winners of the Champions League, Real Madrid, against the winners of the Europa League, Eintracht Frankfurt. Here's everyone's predictions. Everyone's going for a comfortable Real Madrid victory. Shaka Hislop, of course, following me. The right thing to do, very much so at the moment. And if you want more of my betting tips, be sure to check out my fantastic column over on ESPNFC, breaking down exactly where your money needs to go.
They're just
seasonal tips, those ones.
Okay.
So they'll become weekly tips, obviously, once the season starts.
I'm not sure I want to follow your tips, Dan.
Well, you'll be missing out, Shaka. Don't you worry about
that. Dominating the market.
Yeah,
that's what he's doing.
Be sure to stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your questions. Shaka's here with us in the studio, Ali and Jules as well. Shaka, you've been saying you've been deflating footballs all week?
Yes, yes, I have.
Why is that a tiring thing to do? Shall we just put the pin in the...
It's been hot.
Dad. Where have you been doing it?
Outside, Dad.
Why don't you do it in your house?
It's just easier outside, Dad.
Well, clearly not, because it's hot.
Are you sitting on the balls?
Yeah, standing on the balls.
What's your technique? How many have you deflated?
150 there, bud.
Very good, chat. This is for obviously the charity
I'll send them back to Trinidad.
Dr. Shaka Hislop, everyone.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Only on this show can you be mocked for charity work.
You played a few footballs.
There we are. Can people send you footballs?
The short
game. There you go.
Please send me footballs. I'll take them all.
Send them deflated. Shaka Hislop, USA. Why aren't players willing to move to Manchester United, just like they're willing to move to Barcelona with lower wages, given Manchester United were one of the biggest clubs in the world as well when they grew up? Yeah, Jules, why does no one go to United?
I'm not sure if that's true. I still think that it's one of the biggest clubs in the world. Like Ten Hag, why did Ten Hag go then? He didn't have to go. I still think that this club appealed to some players, appealed to some manager. It's a tough time, of course it is, but it's also, I think you can also feel like you want to be part of the rebuilding project, and if you manage to take this club back to the top, it's very rewarding. I don't know, I can understand why right now it doesn't look like that. But I still want to believe that they can still attract players, that players still want to play at Old Trafford, such a historical club, and that they might still want to be part of that.
Yeah, how much would a club's history affect your decision to go there or not?
In today's game, I think a lot of the world's best talent, which you would normally associate with Manchester United, want to play Champions League football. Right.
That's the appeal.
Yeah, not being in the Champions League affects a lot of players' decisions in today's game. We are, 12 months removed from Ronaldo choosing Manchester United over Manchester City. But now they're chasing, or supposed to be chasing, players where other clubs are interested. Those other clubs will be competing in the Champions League, Manchester United are not. So therefore, it's a tougher decision, it's a tougher sell. To those players.
If you grew up, supporting Barcelona,
huh?
And they come in for you,
uh-huh.
But they're currently sitting 10th in the table.
Uh-huh.
Getafe, meanwhile, uh-huh. are in the Champions League. They've got a chance to make a really good run.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect your decision?
Well, it depends on where I am in my career. If I am a top tier talent, then I'm...
What are you laughing at, Shane?
That was unnecessary, Shaq. This was a hypothetical. I was answering a hypothetical question.
I was just, if I'm a top tier talent, I was just, it's a big if.
Yes.
I was just admiring the size of your if.
Yes. If I'm a top tier talent and I'm a top of the crest of my career, I don't think that the sentimental value of my relationship with Barcelona would play a role. I wouldn't sacrifice the projection and the trajectory of my career because of the sentimental connection. And I think that's where clubs need to be very honest with themselves and objective with themselves, in that what is the profile of player that we can go after? Because in my opinion, no top tier talent wants to be part of a rebuild.
Right.
If you are at the best of your career and you are among the best in the world, you're not going in the rebuild. Somebody else is.
Don't live in Itafe. Live in a nicer bit of Madrid.
All right. Who's the best player?
Very hypothetical question.
Who's the best player outside the top six, Jules, in the Premier League? And is it still Cristiano Ronaldo?
That's me.
Oh, dear Ronnie.
I don't know. I would say Bruno Guimaraes. I think he would be a good shout. Because I think he showed the second part of last season, certainly towards the end of the season with Newcastle, how good he was. I would have said someone like Christian Eriksen, but now he's part of the top six club. He's moved there. I would have said maybe Bissouma, who also moved to a top six club. So eventually, those really, really good players always end up going to a top six club. But I would say Bruno Guimaraes for now, because I think very, very soon he will move to a top six club.
There we go. Mm-hmm. I'll say Declan Rice.
So what about Newcastle? Eventually, top six. What does Jules mean by very soon Bruno Guimaraes will move to a top six club?
Well, a Newcastle finishing top, you didn't have them in their top six this season.
Yes, exactly.
Your predictions.
So don't
start going on your IORs.
I didn't want to jinx them, that's all.
Pretending you're a big Newcastle fan.
I didn't want to jinx them, that's all.
Shaq, let's be honest. You didn't even remember that you put together a top six list.
I was thinking about who the hell was about top six.
Okay.
I remember.
Let's go fullbacks, Ali.
Okay, let's go fullbacks.
Start, bench, sell. Ooh. Philip Lahm, Roberto Carlos, Dani Alves.
Oh, man.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Bench sell.
Oh,
what?
Oh.
I'm going to start Philip Lahm.
Wow.
I'm going to bench Dani Alves, and I'm going to sell Roberto Carlos.
Wow.
I know. It hurts.
Where are you going with this list, Jules?
I think I'll agree with Ali. I'm that close of going Dani Alves first and Philip Lahm on the bench. So start Dani Alves, Lahm on the bench, and then sell Roberto Carlos. But I'll go with Ali. I just think that Philip Lahm, just for everything, is just, you know, magnificent. So I'll start him.
Nah, I agree in that I'll sell Roberto Carlos, but I am leaning to start Dani Alves.
Ahead of Philip Lahm.
But as Jules says, it is really, really close.
Roberto Carlos got the biggest calves you've ever seen. When he's going around, like bigger than my head. Have you seen his calves? You played against him?
Yes, I've seen his calves, but I'm not quite sure that played a role in the decision.
I just thought people might like a little insight.
A really odd turn.
Roberto, no, they're the biggest calves you'll ever see in your lives, aren't they?
I'll tell you a quick story about Roberto Carlos. So we're playing Brazil in Belém do Pará, in Brazil, World Cup qualifier, right? And we're looking good. We're knocking the ball around.
This is Getafe, Ali.
Yes. In any case, eventually Brazil actually picked up the pace and we were done. But
after 3 minutes.
Yes. But we're moving around and we're defending well. And then we shift everybody over and we think, okay, we've done everything that we were asked to do in our preparation. And Roberto Carlos, here's the sideline. He has a defender in front of him. His only option, you would have thought, okay, he's going to turn and play it to the center back.
Yeah.
Without taking a step, hits a 65-yard ball across the field to Cafu going on the right-hand side. He crosses the ball. They're scoring. They're going, like, what? But we were under control. We had him.
We had him right where we wanted him.
It was ready to go.
He's got really big calves, you know?
Yeah.
Roberto Carlos.
Apparently.
Shaka, if I told you how big his calves are.
I think you all got caught as marrying his calves.
Yes.
What move? What big calves you have, Roberto?
Jules, any truth to the rumours of Liverpool, Real Madrid or PSG being interested in acquiring Jude Bellingham before the transfer window ends? What's the valuation that Dortmund put for Bellingham?
No, not this summer, no. I think next summer there might be a big battle. I think Real Madrid would be included in that, well, in that list as well, because I think in their mind. This could be a target very, very soon. We know that Liverpool are really keen and will, at some point, will have to rebuild their midfield, or certainly to change a little bit the midfield. So I think he will come into that. For PSG, I'm not so sure, but we're talking easily now over the 120 million euros for Jude Bellingham. If he continues, again, that progression that we've seen in the last two seasons, and if he has another positive season with Dortmund, I think we're looking at, 120 minimum. Wow. We'll go up to 150 for someone of his age and of the talent. And if he has a good World Cup with England, the price will even go higher.
What about if Barcelona has six more levels?
Oh, pull the levers.
They pull the 10th level.
You go lever, I go lever.
Well,
where do you go?
I'm going to say lever.
You lever as well?
Yes.
There you go. Jules, do you know who Gilbert Tima is?
Always ridiculing my pronunciations. That's what it is.
Spicy version.
You're ready. You're ready to go at me there. Thanks, Ali.
Jules, any idea who Gilbert Tima is?
Gilbert who?
Tima.
No.
Are you sure it's not your burner account? Because they write in, for the boys, given that PSG appear to be firing on all cylinders, how far do you think they'll make it in the Champions League given their current form?
It's a lot raw burner account.
There it is, most definitely.
Oh, an Arsenal
let's start
in
off with the objective opinions.
What was your question?
PSG, how far are they going?
In what, Champions League?
Yes.
Same again.
Bottling it in the quarterfinals.
Yeah. Have Stevie on here shouting.
Yeah,
shouting
choking.
They're going to bottle it.
Choking.
Yeah.
Choking everywhere.
Why are you making that face, though, Shaq?
That's
very expressive.
That's just a face of God.
Ali?
They'll get one step further.
Semi-final and then choke.
Yes.
Right. Julien Laurent.
They go all the way.
Where's the final?
In Paris. Well, not in Paris. It's in Paris. Not anymore, not ever again.
Where is the final?
Anywhere. I'll walk there. If they
Istanbul.
Play over the final, I'll cycle there even.
Jules, you got a tattoo. I've never seen your tattoo before.
Yeah. I saw that.
Yeah? Mrs. L.
What is it? What does it say? Gab?
He wishes, probably. Yeah.
What does it say?
Oh, it says Kate for Mrs. Lawrence.
Oh, phew. At least it isn't Mrs. Laurent.
I say nothing. I barely speak the language.
Jules, where is Icardi?
I think at the Nobu Hotel in Ibiza. The last time I heard of it,
San Antonio.
Because he's obviously, he's a stay-at-home dad now. He's not anymore football player, so he's not in my books. And I think he had a few days off, so he decided to go with Wanda, of course, and the girls to Ibiza.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, to a very nice hotel. So, I mean, good for him. A bit of sunbathing, getting his tan done, nice food. All of that. He's got a good life.
Did you do Ibiza in your younger days?
No, I didn't.
You should have seen 18-year-old Dan in IB.
Cross the tips.
just trying to get my calves like Roberto Carlos. Phone parties.
Scary, man.
Final question. Start, bench, or sell? Okay, Jules. Rui Costa, Riquelme, Totti. It's quite a mix.
Wow. As much as I love Riquelme, the lack of pace would frustrate me too much. I will go for Totti. I start Totti. I bench with Costa. And really, really against my will, I would say Riquelme.
What do you mean, against his will? He's the one making the decision.
I know.
I would start Totti, bench Riquelme, sell Rui Costa.
I'm with Ali.
That is it. Good stuff. Thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow to reflect on the European Super Cup final. It is, of course, Eintracht Frankfurt against Real Madrid in Helsinki. Oh, join us then.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.